WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. President Trump's plethora of tariffs and changes in how they're being imposed is causing some worries around the globe and for U.S. businesses trying to figure out how to plan ahead. He is now threatening sanctions and tariffs against Russia until a peace deal with Ukraine is reached. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with more.
Trump is now threatening reciprocal tariffs against Canada, targeting some lumber and dairy imports. This week, Trump postponed his plan for 25% tariffs on many Mexican and Canadian goods. The whiplash is creating confusion in industry and agriculture.
The talk of more tariffs obviously are wreaking havoc at the moment with the grain market.
The White House says the tariff pause will last 1 month.
One police officer is dead and another critically wounded after a shooting on a busy street in Newark, New Jersey. Mayor Ross Baraka.
These are officers who got up yesterday morning to do their job. To go outside and make sure our streets were safe, to make sure 8-year-olds are not killed by stray bullets, to make sure our grandmothers could sit on their porches in peace.
In Toronto, three gunmen randomly opened fire at a pub with an assault-style rifle and handgun. Paul McIntyre at the Toronto Police Department says six people were shot.
When officers arrived on scene, they discovered 12 individuals suffering from various injuries. Those individuals were transported to local hospitals.
Now to Gaza, where the first Friday in the Muslim holy month of Ramadan has passed, with Palestinians still suffering from hunger. Hospitals there are running low on fuel, and Israel has barred all food, fuel, medicine, and other supplies for some 2 million people. CBS's Deborah Pata.
United Nations human rights experts have criticized Israel for resuming what they call weaponized starvation and have urged international mediators to intervene and uphold the truce.
In London. Crowds cheered a man who climbed Big Ben barefoot holding up a Palestinian flag. 60 years ago, the nation watched in horror as troopers viciously beat blacks demonstrating in Selma, Alabama for voting rights. The attack at the Edmund Pettus Bridge is known as Bloody Sunday. The late civil rights activist, Georgia Rep. John Lewis, spoke there before he died in 2020.
Getting good trouble.
Good trouble.
Necessary trouble. It helped redeem the soul of America.
2 weeks later, a crowd of thousands led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. crossed that bridge. The Voting Act of 65 was signed months later. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Abortion is currently legal in Wisconsin. A judge made that ruling in 2023, about a year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. While some states have added abortion rights to their constitutions, others have enacted strict abortion bans. New research shows when states have these bans in place, it hurts their economy. Mike Moen reports.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research is out with a new study that includes survey data from 10,000 adults. The authors say one in five respondents planning to have children has moved or know someone who has to another state because of reproductive care restrictions in their current location. The Institute's Melissa Mahoney says it shows banned states will likely see some of their workforce talent flow elsewhere.
The labor markets in states that protect abortion tend to be more welcoming for women with higher wages, greater access to health insurance, also a stronger labor force participation.
These findings mirror results from a similar study issued earlier this year by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Mahoney says their research indicates it isn't just a problem for state policymakers. She notes that businesses should also be worried about a talent drain, with survey respondents wanting them to prioritize care access.
Many, in addition, are asking more of their employers in terms of reproductive health care benefits, in terms of speaking out against abortion restrictions in their states.
According to the findings, 57% of respondents say they're more likely to apply for or accept a job with reproductive health care benefits as part of the offer. And in South Dakota, 65% of adults think employers should provide financial assistance for child care.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-40s, a little breezy out of the southwest. Clear tonight, 31. Sunshine, 50 degrees for your Sunday. On Monday, sunshine with a high near 57. Tuesday, mostly sunny, low 50s, and mid-40s Wednesday. Currently, 33 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And the white line's getting longer. And the saddle's getting
what's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco, the one-stop shop for the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin, where you come to learn about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, loving, living every day, heard on your Civic Media stations throughout the state, 21 of them, every Saturday at 11 o'clock. We love to have you along. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and fun to host this show alongside my decades-long sidekick.
Hello.
Co-host of the show, the crazy Danielle Fairman.
I love you change it with crazy. I feel like you're going to
I was going somewhere else with it, and I decided crazy was the best thing
I could
say. Danielle Fairman, this woman is the real deal when it comes to hunting and fishing. She will put her hands under rocks in hopes that massive catfish on.
The big 50-pound
noodling
catfish.
She's done it. I'm so excited about this show. Every week we have a show and I think, I don't know how it can get better. And we end up with some guests that are so phenomenal. Danielle and I are going to go through that. Ellie Mae Lawton is here for our recipe of the week, our chefferie, our classically trained French culinarian is with us. And I'm really excited to welcome Wendy Christensen to the show. Wendy Christensen is a taxidermist. But she's got a connection that's going to blow your mind in a story we're going to talk about. Not only is she just a taxidermist, this woman makes art that wins her national recognition for her work. You know, I'm a little, honestly, we're in the fishbowl in WFSH here in Concord, Wisconsin.
The fishbowl, I love
and
it.
And we're surrounded by a lot of taxidermy, and I'm almost nervous about it because I know she can look at every piece and be like,
Wendy probably feels at home.
Right?
I do. This is definitely my forte around here.
What makes me nervous, though, is she can look at that and say, that's not right. I would have done that differently. They didn't tie it right in the back.
I don't like those eyes.
The corner of that nose isn't perfect. But I'm saying look from afar, mate, because it's good from afar, but far from good.
That's one way to put things. I guess I never thought of it that
that's
way.
That's what they say about me, too.
Danielle, good for you. I hope they say that about me. Good from afar, but far from good. Because I know the far from good part, but from afar, I hope I look all right.
Spectacular.
I don't know. I've still got my hair.
So I feel like we need to go into our weekly whiskles right away.
Yes.
Because I have so many questions for Wendy.
I have a ton of questions for Wendy. And I'm just going to tease this real quick. We're about to do our weekly whiskos. And of course, we've gotten into entire cooking segment that Danielle is going to be a part of today. She brought this sweet potato salad.
Rainbow salad.
Sweet potato rainbow salad.
I'm in a spring mood.
To die for. I'm not joking. It's fantastic. You did a great job with that, Danielle. And every week, you know, what is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
A cooking show.
So we're going to get into the weekly Wiscos. I'm going to tell mine right away, which is...
Oh yeah. I'm so excited. What is it?
Well, Ellie Mae Lawton is an official certified French chef for the Fowl Life as well. And she cooks for
and
the
And that's
provider.
All he needs to say about his weekly whisko.
I feel like there's things to be said. I'm so
we
excited.
Came up with the great, we would find out, harebrained idea of let's cook on the ice. Because how cool is that? And we're not going to have a lot of good ice for very long.
Hot and windy?
It has been.
Sure,
it has been.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, there's about two sure feet was. Of ice out there. So we came up with the idea.
Once you get to it.
of cooking on the ice. So we brought this sled down with stuff to cook on the ice. And first I want to say, whatever kind of cooking you're going to do in a kitchen, multiply it by at least two, the difficulty of bringing everything out onto an ice surface and setting up and doing it out there. And then making it pretty for television, making pretty pictures, making sure the audio works without the wind. So we're out there in about a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
No.
I take my first step onto the ice and my foot goes through.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I just look at him. I'm like, we're out of here.
Yeah,
we're
done.
We're out.
I don't believe it. That would have been
load up the truck. I'm out. Back in the truck. Do you need help putting that back in the truck? So I take my first step. It goes through, but I see people ice fishing, and I'm thinking they must have safe ice. So I got past the shoreline break, and it was very safe ice. It was about a foot and a half of solid ice once you got past.
The shoreline's always first to go.
Shoreline's always first to go. That's for sure. So we get out there, then. Some local friends of ours who were at the Hideaway Bar, Charlie Osborne, VJ Scully, president of the local bank, they came out and decided to be our assistants.
Danielle had sous chefs.
Of course she had sous chefs
on the ice.
And spectators.
So now we were trying to figure out like how to incorporate them into the cooking segment. We're on the ice. The stuff's blowing around like crazy. We can't keep the stove lit.
Going
out, and we're trying to put, you know, to put TV together. And it at the end of the day, the video, the pictures were beautiful. Chef Lawton did a phenomenal job,
of
as
course,
she always
of
does.
Course.
And we put together this goose stir fry, this Canada goose.
Stir fry on the ice?
Yes. Oh,
what? I was expecting a fish recipe.
Gosh.
No.
It was unbelievable. Wow. This was like sky and sea. We were on the sea cooking sky, right?
Yeah, I love it.
And what she did, and I'm hoping, is that your, are we going to do that for the cooking segment? Because I'm going to leave that.
Yeah.
Because that was unbelievable. I would say the number one thing people say they don't want to eat when it comes to wild game is, Danielle?
Goose. The goose.
Canada goose.
Yep. It's always sky carp, they call it.
So good.
Well, when you know how to cook it, it is really fantastic.
Exactly.
So I don't want to take all the time with my weekly whisko, but I ended up being a great time. Great to see Charlie and VJ and all the other dozens of people who came out from the Hideaway to watch us in our missteps. And then on top of it, we're slipping around on the ice.
of course.
It was perfect. But I'm telling you, producer Jess, you would have absolutely loved this wild goose stir fry.
So why didn't you give me a call?
We'll have to make that. Well, it was Sunday. That's why we didn't. Okay. It was Sunday and I knew you were not available Sunday. So
no, I'm usually available.
I promise you we will have you. What's that?
What?
I thought you said something. Anyway, producer Jess is along. She's the one who keeps this show on the road and gets us all in our place. And we are very, very sad that we're not in the same building as her anymore. However, we get to see her by the computer and by our StreamYard. So thank you for everything you do. As always, Jess, we're so excited that you've become such a great part of the show and part of the great outdoors. That's my weekly whisko. Danielle, what do you got?
Oh, well, it's shed hunting season, so I was out in the woods.
Yeah.
I had a little incident in the woods, though. Bandit likes to jump on things, and he fell over, and he cannot use his back leg.
Oh, no. Did he hurt his back?
Yeah, he hurt his spine.
Was it a stinger?
Now I'm about to cry. It was very rough.
I would say it was rough.
Bandit is
he going to be all right?
He'll be okay.
He is on a bunch of pain meds, muscle relaxers, and if he is not better by Saturday, they think it's a neurological thing.
Is he able to move his legs at all?
He's able to move his legs. That's why they're not completely worried. But they said this because when you would just gently pet his back, it's a lab. He loves being pet and play and fetch and everything. he just keeps crying.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna pray for Bandit's recovery, and everybody put him in your thoughts and prayers, because Bandit is the official mascot. Of Raised in Wisco,
yes,
so we do care very much about Bandit's welfare. Ellie, what do you got?
I'm kind of really sad right now.
I understand that.
Okay, so after the stressful day on the ice, I also went to the woods and went on a long hike to decompress.
Oh, nice.
Woods does that.
Did you enjoy one of the public parks in Wisconsin?
No, I did not. I went and hiked some private family property.
Oh, yeah, that's
fun. So it was
fun.
Nice. I was the only one there. It was wonderful.
So you were kind of sort of shed hunting, but
I was shed hunting, yes, but it was just a decompression walk.
Nice.
Well, decompression breaths and decompression walks are sometimes
it was beautiful.
Very
I
necessary,
on a full belly,
no
too. That sounds
it.
So good.
Yeah.
Gooster. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for stir fry.
Telling you,
we'll make it again.
This tasted like she used like a cross between a sirloin and tenderloin beef. It was unbelievable because the way she prepared that made it tender and delicious, and it still had some bite and some timber to it, you know, what you want out of a steak, but there was no gaminess to it, nothing whatsoever, and whatever sauces, and we'll let her describe that when we get to the cooking segment, but it was unbelievable.
I believe it.
Wendy Christensen. Give us just a smattering of your background because we're going to get into some really cool stuff.
Okay. So I am, as you mentioned before, I'm a taxidermist. I started when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I started as with a correspondence course by mail. And when I was 12, you didn't have access to all the stuff you do today. Now you can learn taxidermy through videos, you can go to schools, you can do classes, you can learn everywhere. When I was 12 years old, nobody shared secrets.
Sure. Oh.
The only way you could learn.
I never thought about it that way.
Oh, it was a hush-hush thing. Nobody shared this because.
And you think you'd be in a kid that you want to get into it, they would be super interested.
You got to think about the time period, though. It was.
You're not a day over 35.
Oh, I love you. No, but I mean, seriously, people. It was such a tight-held, secret. People didn't want to share whatever they learned. And there just wasn't computers. There wasn't internet. There wasn't all that stuff. And so you had to learn on your own. And so I learned from a correspondence course. When I was 14, there was a local taxidermist that was teaching classes. He was a school teacher, and he taught a little basic mini course. He was not a very good taxidermist.
Oh, no.
You couldn't learn and
exactly,
become one yourself.
You know, there was so much. Because when you're 12 and you're reading this stuff, you know, you can barely comprehend half the words that
I believe
you know.
It.
Sure,
so,
sure.
But, it piqued my interest. When I was 14, I learned a lot from this gentleman. He may not have been great, but I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 15, I started working for a local taxidermist. And he was fantastic guy. Very good taxidermist. I learned a ton from him. When I was actually, took me and molded me a lot.
Wow.
Learned
he was
ton.
Your mentor.
Yes.
I love that.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to talk about what Wendy has got, what pies she's had her hands in, because one of them has to do with a world famous gorilla that everybody in Wisconsin and the Midwest knows about. But particularly if you're from Wisconsin, you're going to know who we're talking about, and you're not going to believe the way in which she helped preserve the legacy of a gorilla. That's why Raised in Wisco is so cool. I mean, come on. Did you really think you were going to listen to a show and get to hear about the world famous gorilla based right here in Wisconsin and have a person on the show who's going to tell us all about it? This is Raised in Wisco.
Not much too young to feed this family. Lord, I'm much too young to feed this family.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee.
the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Midnight Cinderella, but don't you worry none. Cause I'm Peter Peter, the pumpkin heater, and the party has just begun. Yes, your Prince Charming wasn't after all, cause he sure seemed different right after the ball. I guess more than horses.
Raised in Wisco's your spot to jam out and get everything you need to know about the great outdoors. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
In the studio today, we are so jacked. We've got Ellie Mae Lawton with an awesome recipe that we did on the ice. There are some little disasters in that portion. But we're going to hear about how to make fantastic Canada Goose stir fry. Easy peasy in your kitchen.
Lemon squeezy?
Not as easy on the ice. Oh. Sure, you can add
lemon. There was no lemon in that recipe. We can add it.
Lemon goes great. Stir fry
easy.
It really does. Stir fry easy. Wendy Christensen is here, and not only is she an worldwide award-winning taxidermist, that does not describe this woman's
life. No.
That doesn't touch the surface of the adventures this woman has been on. In fact, I have wrangled her into coming on this show again. I'm so excited about it. And I'm going to tell you something. Wendy and I could sit down here in the studio and just, I could listen to her for hours on end. It'd be 5 a.m. I wouldn't have lost any sleep. I could just listen to her stories. This woman is so experienced and had such unbelievable life experiences that books should be written about it. Movies should be made about it. But one of the coolest things, in my belief, that she has worked on has been the beloved gorilla of the Milwaukee County Zoo, which just about every, if you haven't heard of this, I'm telling you, there are words that Gen Z uses that half of us haven't heard of. Well, if you haven't heard of Samson, the world famous gorilla at the Milwaukee County Zoo who lived there for decades and stole the hearts of all Wisconsinites, mm-hmm. he was so beloved that the Milwaukee County Museum had a replica of Samson, an actual replica of actual Samson in the museum for people, for his lore to continue. Wendy Christensen actually worked on Samson at the Milwaukee County Museum and how it got there. Gosh, just tell us. Tell us.
Okay. Well,
please continue.
So Samson died in 1981. I started at the museum in 1982. So when he died in 1981, there was a taxidermist in Waukesha, Gary Zahner. He was a real well-known taxidermist that actually was contracted by the zoo to skin him and mount him for them, for the zoo. So Gary went out and he made a death mask of Samson, which is a cast of the animal of Samson's face.
Did you say a death mask?
Yeah, that's what they call it. And it's a
did that in Egypt too sometimes, yes.
They did it even in Western United States. They did casts of people and kind of a memento, I guess, for family members or whatever reason. They did. But plaster cast of the face. And they did that oftentimes to look at for reference when they were sculpting an animal or whatever. So he made a death mask and he skinned Samson. And the purpose was to do a actual taxidermy mount for the zoo. And then when the public found out about this, there was this huge outcry by the community. Half of the community said, you can't mount Samson.
Oh,
he was too much like a human. And the other half said, you have to mount him. He was a Milwaukee icon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the zoo just kind of got all, embroiled in all of this, controversy. And they did nothing. And he just sat in the freezer of Gary Zahner, of the local taxidermist. So it sat in that freezer. And then
Do you think Gary Zahner ever was like, hey, I want to see something cool.
Every
time you went to his house. I mean, I can't look. I got a pretty cool studio here. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
Every time,
but that if would I had be Samson awesome. In the freezer, I'd be like, "Hey, do you want to see, you want to see something?"
Every cool? time. See, and Gary Zahner was a friend of mine. And oh, so every man. Time you went to his house, you opened that freezer door and there was
Samson's face staring at you. Oh, that is awesome. So, wow.
Jess, I just saw you put your hand on your head.
Yes. So anyhow, I started there when I was very, very young. I got the job when I was, it's a long story. I didn't get to get to that. But anyhow, so when I, in 84, we asked for his skin back. You know, we figured, okay, the zoo's not going to have him mounted. So we already had his carcass at the museum. They had given us his carcass. So we had put his skeleton on display because the public kept asking, "Kay, where's Samson? We want to see Samson. Mm-hmm. We want to see Samson." So we put a skeleton on display and that wasn't enough. The community,
no, that is not enough.
They wanted to see Samson. Yeah. So when we got the skin, I thawed the skin out and it was slipping, which means sure. the outer layer of epidermis was coming off in large sheets. So at some point the skin had been spoiling or something happened. Oh. When we thawed it out, we could not save it for a taxidermy mount.
Oh. Zahner so, showed too many people.
I'm not placing blame. I'm not placing blame. I have no.
Zahner got a little zany with showing people.
No, and dead I don't. I don't want to place blame on anybody. But anyhow, so what we did was I saved a skin. I salted and dried it because it was very important scientifically. Samson sure. was a wild captured gorilla, so for scientific purposes. We needed to preserve that for
absolutely. Study.
Yeah, for DNA, whatever purposes. So that skin was very important for me to make this recreation. So later on, many years later, skipping a lot of museums directors, our Waukesha County executive became our director,
yep.
Dan Finley. Dan Finley came to me and says, "Can we make amount of Samson?" And I said, "No, but I can make this artificial recreation." Dan said, "I like it." He said, "I want you to do it this way." He said, "I want you to make it in front of the public."
Wow. What a great idea.
He said, "I want you to do it live with cameras on you."
Fantastic.
That's so I did so it. Neat. He was brilliant. So I did it in my studio initially, where people could log in from their home and watch me.
Oh.
And then the rest of it, it got past the real messy part, we actually did it down in an exhibit gallery, and we did an entire exhibit about gorillas all around it.
Yes, I was there. Did you see it? Absolutely.
And so we did me in the middle of the room making him, and then all around it, we brought Sambo, which was his buddy that was raised with him.
Yeah.
And we reunited, made a big thing. We reunited Samson and Sambo together. And then we had a whole exhibit about gorillas and natural history and gorillas and pop culture. But the cool thing was that the public could watch me make them.
Wow. That is really
that
neat.
That is so neat. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, you can, people have different opinions about taxidermy. Mm-hmm. Should it happen? Should it not? Mm-hmm. Is it bizarre? Is it dark to recreate the life of an animal that's mm-hmm. dead or been eaten? You know, mm-hmm. and I like to look at this and say, there were so many opportunities for education and mm-hmm. learning, and you were really at the quintessence of milking every possibility of that.
Yes.
And this is what study is about.
Right.
So not only was it this fascinating thing that the community wanted, it's something that you were able to help show people how taxidermy works, how recreation works. Because when you saw that Samson in the museum, you thought for sure, you thought dead on you were looking at Samson.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
He was the same. His posture, his stance. Mm-hmm. It was so fantastic. I can't wait to continue talking about this. This is why it's so great and important for you to listen to Raised in Wisco.
Hence Peter, the pumpkin eater, and the party has now begun.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is changing some of his tariffs, threatening Russia with some over its war with Ukraine and also getting back at Canada over its tariffs against the U.S.
Canada has been ripping us off for years. on tariffs for lumber and for dairy products.
In Newark, New Jersey, a city in mourning after one police officer was killed and another critically wounded in a shooting. Essex County Prosecutor Theodore Stevens says a 14-year-old has been charged with murder and attempted murder.
5-year veteran Officer Joseph Azcana was shot before he even had the opportunity to leave his police car.
The nation is looking back 60 years to Bloody Sunday, when on March 7th, 1965, white troopers viciously attacked peaceful blacks trying to march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, for their voting rights with nightsticks and tear gas. Later that year, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was passed. CBS News Brief, I'm Allison Keys.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Bucks against the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with back-to-back games at home. Tonight against the Orlando Magic. Tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. Milwaukee has won 4 in a row. Bucks shooting guard A.J. Green.
I feel like we just come together more as a team and are continuing to trust each other more and have been putting a lot of focus on that. And so I think you've been able to see that for us and how we played. And it's just going to be continuing to take next steps with that, you know, on defense and continuing to do it consistently on offense.
NFL, only 4 players have played 16 years or more in Green Bay. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and kicker Mason Crosby, who retired yesterday.
I am a culture, team, relationship guy. That's why Green Bay was perfect for me. You know, I chose to stay here over and over again. Never went to free agency until my last year. I chose this place as it chose me, and God's plan was set in place a long time ago that this was where I was supposed to be, and I'm thankful for that every day.
That's Mason Crosby with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-40s, a little breezy out of the southwest. Clear tonight, 31. Sunshine, 50 degrees for your Sunday. On Monday, sunshine with a high near 57. Tuesday, mostly sunny, low 50s and mid-40s Wednesday.
Currently 33 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
When the last child cries for a crust of bread. The last man dies for just words.
Oh, man. Garth Brooks. He just really does. His music is timeless. I'm telling you.
It is, though.
I'm Joel Clayfish. That is Danielle Fairman. This is Raised in Wisco. Heard on every Civic Media station throughout Wisconsin. 21 of them. You can hear us anywhere you want. Or tell them where else they can listen,
Danielle. You can listen to us on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can hear all of our past episodes. You can listen to us or watch us on Facebook. You can listen to us on YouTube as well. And then if you want to hear the reruns, because I know you're going to want to hear about Samson again, listen to us on Spotify and then on, what's the other one? Apple.
Apple.
And Apple. There we That's go. Right. You can, there is always a reason to listen to the show in retrospect if you miss us, because I'm telling you, this week's episode, and every week episode surprises me on how fascinating they are.
Yes.
We talk about food. We talk about how to make food, how to use the great outdoors of Wisconsin. This week, we've got Wendy Christensen here, and her husband Mike is with us in the studio as well. And Ellie Mae Lawton is here for a fantastic recipe in our recipe segment of the show. I am so fascinated by this. This woman has lived 10 lifetimes in one.
Yes.
She has worked on body worlds. Okay. She's a taxidermist. Yes. Yes. She's a taxidermist, but she has taught in the museum studies area at UW Milwaukee. She has worked on body worlds, which is literally the creation of human bodies that went museum to museum across the country. I saw it myself. To say it's fascinating and creepy in the same breath is absolutely
so
accurate.
Cool. I'm on the creepy side
it's
of it.
So interesting and fascinating. And I believe it was done with such dignity that you can really, it was a real learning experience. She worked on that. The best part of what I'm going to tell you is that I have conned her into coming back on Raised in Wisco.
I know, I'm so excited.
We could do shows upon shows with Wendy Christensen. But right now, we're talking about something that is near and dear to all Wisconsinites, and that is the preservation of Samson the gorilla. Samson the gorilla is an icon of the Milwaukee County Zoo, who lived until 1981 and lived because of Wendy's work in the hearts and minds of folks throughout Wisconsin. You had just, brought us up to speed on how he had gotten there and what you were working on. It was televised. You were showing people how you made this recreation from the actual Samson, his actual skin and his actual carcass and his face. You made the replica because tell me about the pressure of making something that people look at and say, that is Samson.
Yes. Okay. So definitely a very good question. So Samson, to Milwaukeeans, he was a special animal. And the younger generation, a lot of them have heard of Samson. And just the fact that they've heard of Samson, an animal that's been dead for decades, just shows his importance, because there's never been an animal at the zoo before or since that had any kind of, stature like that. People would say, we're going to the zoo to see Samson. They didn't say we're going to the zoo. They say we're going to see Samson.
Yes.
And I mean, that just shows his importance. And he had a way of working the crowd, and that's why he had a way of just being that important animal. And the reason I think that he was so important is because I had to capture that essence of that animal.
How do you capture that in a still form?
That was the challenge.
Relives. Yes. Danielle, did you ever see him while he was alive?
No, I was born in 88.
Okay, no, you
didn't. He died in 81.
Ellie was born in 88. So here's a perfect example. These two women are fascinated by the lore of Samson and never got. Now, I, as a small child, I was 9 years old, I got to see him. Mm-hmm. And that is emblazoned in me because Samson played to the crowd.
Yes, he had that look and he played the crowd.
He would do this and then he'd look up and then he'd run and grab something, come forward.
Yep.
He'd look down, then he'd look up. And he almost had a smack-eating grin on
his face. He had a snivellous way about. For those of you guys that never saw him, he had always had his arms crossed, and he had this He had this looked out of the corner of his eyes with just
sassy.
Very sassy. And he
ate it up.
And he'd wait till he had a big crowd in front of him, and he would run at that glass, and he'd pound the glass with all of his might, and he'd run away, and if he almost had a way of smirking, like, ha, I gotcha, and the crowd would scatter. And he actually did... Two or three times, I've forgotten. No, I think three times he actually cracked the glass.
No way. Wow.
Now he could,
how much pressure does it take to crack that glass?
A lot. And because the glass,
he probably could have broken it if he wanted.
No, he could. Urban legend had that he did break it and he got out, but it was urban legend because there was plexiglass between, or he could never
break. Gotcha.
But now part of the cool story of making Samson, the recreation that I did, was I worked with Sam LaMalfa. Sam LaMalfa was Samson's zookeeper the last 10 years of Samson's life. So while I was making the recreation in the museum gallery, Sam was right there with me. When Sam retired from the zookeeper job, he became a docent at the museum.
That's so cool.
So when I was building Samson, Sam's right here next to me. I'm making Samson. Sam's here and Sam's telling stories.
Aw, that's perfect.
It's perfect. So I've got all Sam's fantastic close-up photographs that I'm using to recreate Samson. And Sam's telling stories. I'm working on them. And the two of us together had this great rapport with the public.
Yeah.
So we had people that would come back every couple weeks and see how far I got along. And Sam would tell stories. And they'd be like, I remember when Samson got out. And Sam would be like, well, no, he never got out. But, you know. So, I mean, it was really, really cool.
He was the fact checker of the group.
Also the one that could really, really relate to them and tell them.
I bet it was a sad day for him when Samson died.
It was. And Samson actually died of a heart attack. And when they did the necropsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy, they found that he had, I think, 5 prior heart attacks.
Wow.
They didn't even know.
So how old was Samson?
32.
32?
That's actually relatively young for a gorilla.
Really? Yeah.
Man, and so you were part of trying to get people to feel that personality in a still sculpture.
Hmm. Absolutely, and that was what was crucial, was to capture that look. And to get that expression across. So yes, it was very, very much what I tried to capture was his look. And
well, I'd because say you certainly did.
Oh, thank you. Because to take a static form, like you said, and not even a real skin and real hair to make that look, that was the challenge.
Did you do the same thing with Sambo?
No, Sambo was an actual real taxidermy mount.
Okay. Yeah.
So Sambo died when he was 9 and a half years old. He died of tuberculosis.
What?
Really?
So he was actually mounted by Harvey Meyer, who was a taxidermist at the time. Again, way before my time then. And so he is an actual skin mount.
So you may have said this, but there's so much going on right now in my head. What did you actually make him out of?
No, I didn't say that. Okay. Thank you for asking. Yeah. So... Okay, this is a long story. I hope I have time. So because I had his real skeleton, I started with a fake skeleton.
Okay.
I didn't want to use his real bones, but I wanted to use bones inside. So I bought an artificial skeleton from a company named Bone Clones.
Oh, nice.
Oh my gosh.
So Bone Clones had an extra large male gorilla cast replica.
Doesn't
replicas.
Seem like there's a big market for that.
So I went to Bone Clones and I bought the skeleton and I compared him to Samson's real bones. But Samson was the largest gorilla ever in captivity.
Oh.
At one point he was 652 pounds.
Wow.
Which is like 150 pounds larger than they're supposed to be.
Okay.
So
which may have led to his heart attack.
It was. And actually when Sam got a hold of him the last 10 years of his life, he put him on a diet and he lost about 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Unfortunately, probably too late. Hmm. But so I took all of the bones and I compared them to Samson's bones and I had to lengthen all of the bones to make him Samson sized.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Because Samson was so big. And so
that's got to be a heck of a project
in
itself.
It was a big project. So I made all the bones to proportion. And I put it in the pose I wanted, made the bones. So that became an armature. Then on that armature, I poured liquid foam, two-part foam, that expands Just like your all your foam that's in all your mannequins here for your animals.
You mean they're not real?
Who'd have thought it, right?
Flesh and bone.
Yeah. So I poured the liquid foam, then over, let it expand, and I carved all the muscles and all the detail.
Carved all, oh wow,
all the detail in the anatomy. So that's what's in the body, okay? The face, now, I took that death mask that Gary Zahner made, that nice death mask that he made. Okay, this is a kind of detailed thing that I worked out. I made a cast of his death mask. I retooled it. I added, it's very hard to explain, but I added more to it. I made the sagittal crest. So his cast was just a cast of this portion of the face.
Sure, okay.
Just the front portion of the face.
Okay.
I extended it and made the whole sagittal crest, the whole back of the head. And I, using the photographs that I had, the good photographs, I retooled all of the expression. Because a cast of a death mask, I should say, is a cast of a dead animal. All the expression is gone. There's no blood pressure, no muscle tone, no personality. There's no expression. So I retooled all of that detail, put back that life. And I temporarily set glass eyes in that rotated look, how he always looked at you out of the corner of his eyes.
Yes.
And I temporarily set them, and then I put some keys in. It's key points that are square pegs that I temporarily put on the glass eyes that would be cast in place, because now I'm going to make another mold of that.
Oh, man.
And that mold is going to be casting and replicating the eyes that are going to be transferred into the next mold, which is then going to be rubber. So the face, it's a long story, but the face is going to be made into 3/4-inch thick rubber.
Huh.
So his face is actually rubber.
Wow. So how cool that this is all television documented.
Yeah.
I feel like we're 6, 7, 8 months in. How long is this?
Yeah, probably about that. Because the whole project, they had me on display doing this for a whole year. I could have done it in less time, but they wanted me doing it in a year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, there's a video, there's a film of this, a DVD.
Watching that tomorrow. I have off work.
I don't know where it is, but they used to sell it in the gift shop.
Oh.
So then all the hairs that I, and I'll explain that when we get to that, that I how I got the hairs. All the hairs from the back of the head to the chest are all implanted one hair at a time.
What? Oh, my God.
So I could vary them from heavy.
Do you think if I get thin on the top, you could do that for me?
I could do it because it's all implants just like that. So, yeah, I made a special tool that I implanted it into that rubber. I pull the hairs out, and the friction holds them all in place. And then I trimmed and colored them. And then all of the rest of the hair is done in a material. It's a flexible four-way fabric flex that could be, then I cut and sewed in different pieces that to get the weft and warp, you know, so you get the hair patterns.
Oh, man.
The way you need them, and get all the different directions the way you need it. And then the hands and feet are all sculpted in epoxy, and I had bought hands and feet from the same company, the Bone Clones.
If they had Bone Clones.
From Hobby for bones.
Hobby Lobby for bones. Do you think they have bonehead clones?
Just going down the bone
I would probably be like the model.
The model. They have hair on them.
Oh, and man. There it is. We had to get those there in there. Is.
Organic dye.
I could tell you about the hair and all that stuff if we have time.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible!
I want to know about the hair.
We're gonna dig a little bit into the cooking segment of the show because I want Wendy to be able to wrap up, and she's promised she's coming back. This is so fascinating. I could listen to this for hours. Yeah. We don't have enough time. This is Raised in Wisco, and this is why you got to listen to this show. You never know where it's gonna go.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, we're squad about that now.
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that now.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that now.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming. Local country station just a blaring on a radio. Pick him up.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is joining me. Ellie Mae Lawton is here. And Wendy Christensen, taxidermist to the stars and all around amazing, unbelievable person. I cannot tell you how exciting this is to have her here. She worked on Samson, the famous, the iconic Samson from the Milwaukee County Zoo. She made his legacy permanent in the hearts and minds of Wisconsinites everywhere who loved this animal when he lived. And I think love him as much when he's dead because they go to the museum to see him. He will be moved to the new museum. You were talking about what it took to recreate Samson and his personality in a still figure that people absolutely love to see. We're going to go a little bit into this cooking segment because I want Wendy to be able to wrap up, and she is coming back to Raised in Wisco. We're going to talk much more about Samson, about her work. You're not going to believe it. This woman taxidermied and preserved King Tut's horses.
Oh, yes.
We're going to hear about that.
I cannot wait about that one.
On a future episode. I cannot wait for that. We're going to talk about how she taxidermied King Tut's horses. We're going to talk about how she was part of Body Worlds, the recreation and preservation of human bodies that was on display at museums throughout the United States. This woman's story is quite unbelievable. So we're going to shorten the cooking segment a little bit and continue talking about Samson and wrapping him up. It's unbelievable. I really cannot even explain how fascinating it is. Wendy, the last thing that you were talking about was how you had to go through these meticulous things by implanting hair by hair on Samson, using his actual desk math from his face to turn that into a living looking face on Samson. This is fascinating beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So the hair, like I said, the hairs were from the back of a neck, the whole nape or cape of his back all the way to his chest was all done one hair at a time. I'm sorry. Losing my mic room. There we go. Okay. There. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. All of those hairs were all implanted one hair at a time.
Oh, that's incredible.
Made a special tool, that I could do that with. And then, the bigger portions of hair, I made templates that I could sew and glue the hair down and change the weft and warp, like I said. So you kind of had to learn how to be a seamstress. I'm not really a great seamstress, but I learned this.
I
think you're just playing great at everything you try.
Yeah, I know.
And that is why your handsome husband who is here is so enamored with you, Wendy.
Yeah.
You seem to be just great.
Sure. But the kind of fun thing, too, with the hairs is so this is very kind of a key part of it. So because I had saved his hide, his real skin, to get the hair the way I needed it, I sent samples from six different parts of his hide to a company that makes the hair for Hollywood, for the movie industry.
Well, that's cool. Wow. What a great idea.
Yeah, and they custom matched it. So
jeez,
that took 5 months just back and forth for them to send samples and me to approve them or change them. Okay, you know, add 3% black to 1% this to 3% back and back and forth to get as close a match. And they could not, you know, they can't quite match it. They can't, like, almost all wild animals have 2-3-tone hairs per hair. So they'll have a grizzled tip onto each hair or, or it'll change colors with it.
Blacks and browns and grays and tans.
They can't really do that. So I had to have a base color and then I'd have to hand color the rest of it. I'd either have to every hair, either magic markers or I would have to use something to, you know, airbrush it or do something like that.
My goodness.
So unbelievable.
We came up with a good base color for everything and then a good, like, density. So the majority of the hair is acrylic or yak and acrylic or goat and yak or goat and acrylic or whatever. And it's all different densities. And then I trimmed and colored and cut.
For your brain to have figured this out, it is so fascinating.
Mind-blowing. There's no way I would think all that detail would go into that. Yeah, it's such a masterpiece, such art.
Well, that's partly why it took as long as it did. And it took that long to, you know, to figure all of these processes out and then just working with these companies, you know, to get this back and forth. So once I created and finished Samson, the really cool thing, too, was there's a competition, the World Taxidermy Championships, and they have a category at the championships for recreations.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I asked my boss, Dan Finley, the museum president, I said, what do you think about me entering Samson in the world?
And I know Dan Finley well enough to go say that he said, absolutely.
He said, go for it.
Go for it.
And he said, go for it. And I entered it and I won the whole shebang.
That's fantastic.
That is so cool.
Round
of applause.
Be possible for you to not have won. Seen this creation.
Thank you.
I don't see how on earth you could have won.
Well, I mean, I was thrilled to win Best in the World Recreation, but I ended up winning Best of Show, I won People's Choice. I was so thrilled. I was so, honored.
I cannot imagine what that meant to you and what a final kind of approval it was for what you had gone through and done for this state.
I was very blessed.
For the community of Milwaukee, for Samson, for the education of gorillas, primates. It's so fitting that this was kind of a conclusion to that project because that project was so incredible.
Thank you.
We have virtually no time. I'm going to tell you, Ellie Mae, what did we make on the ice?
I don't know. My brain is scattered right now.
We made the most amazing.
We made a Canada Goose stir fry. It was delicious. We'll talk about it at next show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that the next show.
No, don't be gosh.
We can talk about this forever. I'm sad the show has to come to an end, but it does, and it goes in a flash. Wendy Christensen, Danielle Fairman is here. Ellie Mae Lawton, our chef of the show. Wendy, you are a fascinating woman and unbelievably successful woman. I am so proud to say, I feel like we've gotten kind of an exclusive here.
Honestly,
thank you so much. This is, you're an incredible guest, an incredible person. We haven't even, by the way, scratched the surface of Wendy Christensen, and that's why she's going to be back every week for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, right.
I agree.
No, is that our deal? Can we put that deal together?
Done.
I could listen for that long. Folks, we love having you along. On Raised in Wisco. It means a lot to us, and we hope we help enrich your life and your view of Wisconsin's fantastic outdoors. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow. I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy is calling it an incredibly difficult night for the families of two police officers. One officer was killed and the other is fighting for his life. Prosecutors say a 14-year-old is charged with murder and attempted murder. Newark Mayor Ross Baraka.
Sad that our system has not figured out how to keep guns out of kids' hands. Or we haven't figured out how to mentor our kids out of difficult situations and problems that they feel like they need to resolve their conflicts with guns and weapons on the street.
An outside counsel says the corruption case against New York City Mayor Eric Adams should be dropped with prejudice. The counsel says that would prevent the appearance that Adams remains under political pressure over a possible future indictment. CBS's Michelle Miller.
The outside counsel also recommended the judge bar prosecutors from refiling the charges, even